Good afternoon. One of those rare cases whereby we start just before 5. The speaker was here at 4:30. I was shocked to see him. You'll be encouraged to have him here. I'm going to steal his thunder a bit. We're just talking about how he's got some bank accounts in the US, and someone told someone to take the monies out. And that was in January. And that is the bank for which Winnie's bank bought for a dollar. Yeah, Carl's wife, not grudgingly, asked Carl, the speaker, why is it that you have so much favor from God? We want to move from favor to flavor, Carl. Because when the favor of God comes, despite all the human frailties, I was just talking to Joe one side, I just told her, I'm really sorry, I shouted at my son yesterday, and I better make good today, go back and do something about it. But it is through times of just iron sharpening iron, when Carl comes and later with a fireside chat, it's always finding the right people to just encourage each other because we're all human. We make mistakes and sometimes things don't go the way we want to. Sabrina, I want to say, how are you doing? Instead, I scold you. Because the words come out, it's just not edifying. But we take things in the stride and we just want to always ask God to come through for us. And there's only so much we can do as human beings and we get tired. But with God, we can run the distance. So today, I'm so privileged. I don't know Carl very long. I started to hear about him because sometime, was it last October? I think Royston was there. So you guys attended some Changi Cove Marketplace conferencing. And then Nyap, who you see later, I think she's coming today, tells me, I connected you with this guy called Carl. I say, who is this? Another person to connect? Don't I have a lot of people to connect already? So your name was filtered out sometime in October. I say, And the next thing I know, I met him in another setting, and sometimes when you meet someone, it's almost like a bromance. You know it's bromance. You meet someone and then, you know, and then the wives will be thinking, I haven't met the wife here, I'm sure to meet the wife soon. Why is it that you guys get along well? But maybe when God wants us to do something together, he just connects and you don't need to talk a lot. You just want to say, okay, God, what do you want us to do? Let's do it together. So without further ado, you guys are in for a treat. I'm going to invite Carl. Can we just welcome him?
Thank you. My office is downstairs, so it's real convenient for me to come up here. I'm very grateful for the chance. Pastor Daniel and myself, we met because of an evangelical kind of an event. Going and sharing the word with pre-believers and non-believers. And then immediately I could see this pastor was a business person, marketplace person, introduced me to Silas, and got to know him. So my name is Carl, and I have a short sermon that's very evangelical-oriented because that was the anchor of how I got started with my relationship with Daniel. And then I would welcome you guys because it's a small church. It's a beautiful... I'm always excited to see church plants. In the United States, in the U.S., 3 churches are planted every day. That's the exciting thing about the United States. Some of my classmates are church planters, so I'm very passionate about church planting. Unfortunately, in the U.S., 5 churches close every day. So
that's one of the challenges that we would like to kind of make sure that we're kind of multiplying. I'll introduce myself a little bit. I got a short sermon. After the sermon, I would love to welcome questions. Pastor Daniel said he'll ask some questions as well. I think sharing some practical experiences and the application of a sermon is sometimes quite powerful. So let's perhaps just give the time to the Lord and let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for you to bring your children here together. Father, you speak to us through our hearts. You speak to us through our dreams. You speak to us through each other, Lord. And may this be an opportunity for me to speak your words to this group here. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'll just go ahead and anchor this comment. Knowing is not enough. And there's a concept behind this, and it's a biblical concept. So I'll just go here. That's myself. This Christmas, my daughter and my son, they used to be so happy to do selfies. But when my daughter became 15, 16, every photo must be well prepared. Otherwise, she would not allow me to take photos. So that's Natalie on the back right, and then Eta, Natalie 17. She's at Victoria JC. Just got in. We're very grateful for that. And my son is at St. Hilda's, finishing his Sec 4 now. My wife is Jessie. She's Singaporean, and I come from a few places. So the first message I want to share with you is this. I'm a product of missionaries. So hopefully at some point in this church's growth phase, I'm sure individually you guys support and pray for missionaries. I'm a product of missionaries. I'm from Surabaya, Indonesia. 我是印尼华侨. Yeah. So I grew up in a small village, kampung, and I went to an international school. I was privileged because my parents, my mom is from Taiwan, so 我是台湾出生的，从小在印尼长大. So I'm a little bit complicated there. Now I'm from Bedok, right? So people, where are you from? Bedok. So I was born in Taiwan at a very young age. My family came to Indonesia. My father's Chinese, Indonesian. And I went to an Ang Mo school. And the people I met, very privileged, were mainly missionary kids. The missionaries would go out to the fields. And some of these missionaries, they're speaking better Indonesian than me. And I'm a native. They're preaching. So this is it's a commitment here. So one of my best friends was a missionary's kid. I got to know about the Bible. I went to Sunday school. I was thinking, why am I going to school on Sunday? It doesn't make any sense. And I start singing songs, guitar. I enjoy playing the guitar. So over the years, he gave me my first Bible. If you Google my name, Carl Thong, you will actually see my testimony quite public. So God has been knocking on my door, inviting me, and stirring in my heart for many, many years. But I kind of always put him on the side as insurance policy, right? Something that you don't really want to use, but it's there. I always knew him, but I never understood him. 10 years ago, almost to today, 10 years ago, April, a year, I got baptized, I got saved, and it was one of the core reason I got saved is actually my wife left me. That time, now we're back, because I was unfaithful to her. And she found out about it, and she's Anglican her whole life, and she said, only God can change you. I said, well, let me see. Well, he did. He spoke to me at a sermon, and after becoming a Christian, I went back to school for 8 years to get my degree in theology. And now I serve in a church called All Saints English Church. I'm what they call the lay pastor. Priest warden. I'm a business person, and I've been everywhere, right? I was born in Taiwan, grew up in Indonesia. You can probably tell from my accent and my demeanor, I'm quite Ang Mo. I spent many, many years in the U.S. I still go back there 3 to 5 times a year, maybe even 6 times a year, because I run businesses around the region. So I'm a business person. My office is downstairs, just like Silas, Brother Silas, and Daniel, they're in corporate and in a law firm. I run a management consultancy downstairs. We are in 12 countries. We do leadership training based on biblical principles. We also have a medical call center in Malaysia, and we've got a couple businesses in the U.S. And since coming to Christ, everything that I do has to be aligned with God, otherwise, don't get me involved. Yeah, just because I know it's not going to work. Yeah, the only thing that works, that's good, actually, from God. So that's a little bit of my background. The Bible verse I like to anchor my thoughts is James. As you guys know, James is the brother of Jesus. So suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well-fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? So the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. So I want to be very careful what I say here, because we're Christians, we're not Catholics. Although Anglican, we're kind of like Catholic without the guilt. Right? So I want to be very careful. What we're saying is we're not going to be saved because we do good works. But because we are saved, good works is an outpouring of the Spirit, right? So what I'm trying to say here in James is it's a very clear indication. God's word says, believing is one thing, but obedience and doing, taking action, is really the fruits of the Spirit, right? So let's take a look at that. Who's James? I Googled this. Well, his name was originally Jacob, right? James is the brother of Jesus, not just a Christian brother, but, you know, came from the same biological mother. Now, if you guys remember, in the New Testament, after Jesus went to heaven, in the book of Acts and in the book of Romans, when the church starts spreading, the Apostle Paul went around outside. He was like the missionary. And then Jesus' brother went back to the head office, Jerusalem, right, to kind of be anchored there. So he was, in a way, one of the first official leaders of the Christian movement. That time, remember, they're all Jews, right? They're all Jews. So he was a leader there. And he carried the torch that Jesus left. And so he was well respected, and he wrote this to his followers. I want to be sure I emphasize this, because we don't want people to leave this short sermon and say, well, Carl said you have to do good works in order to earn your right in heaven. No, it's very clear. Our salvation is a gift. There's no transaction needed. It is a gift, right? You can see in Galatians, it is a gift from God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's given to you, right? So I want to make sure that we have that as an anchor. We're not saying you must do something in order to earn the right to heaven. We've been given that opportunity to go to heaven and accept Jesus as a gift. Now, the question is, so what's the topic about this sermon? And I want to just share with you the concept of transformation. The concept of transformation is to establish new holy habits. Pastor Daniel just now said, you know, the words I used for his son was not edifying. We tend to slip because we live in a world of sin. We're born into sin. So we want to be very careful and very mindful on the kind of habits we are building ourselves. So, So knowing is a good start. Knowing Jesus is a good start. Accepting him is fantastic. That's the salvation part. But knowing itself is not enough. Here is a very famous theologian, a guy who studies the Bible intensely, and I love what he said. The last sentence is actually what I would like you to anchor your thinking. The problem is not the understanding of the Bible, but it's to obey it and to put it in practice. Literally, downstairs in my office about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, having lunch with my colleagues. And one of my colleagues, 80% of my company staff are Christians. Just how it worked out. I don't know. God surrounds me with believers. So one of my staff said, Carl, so I was talking about, I was in the kind of soaking myself in the book of Psalms. And then they said, so Carl, you read the Bible every day? I said, yes. How about you? Oh, I try to, she said. And there's a few other people there. Oh, and we're just chit-chatting. I wasn't trying to give anybody some lecture here. And so how about you? Oh, well, you know, I try my best. Then I pull out my phone. I said, guys, what I do is I actually put on my schedule every day. First meeting is with Jesus. It's on my schedule so I don't forget it, right? Sometimes I'm a little bit late for the meeting but because I'm still sleeping, but it's my first appointment. And then we started talking, well, is it important to read the Bible every day? Again, I'm not here to give you guys a guilt trip. Believing God is one thing. Trying to build a relationship with him should be intentional, not accidental, right? It should be intentional. So praying is, of course, a critical part of that. Reading the Bible, in my personal opinion, is a part of that. So then I stop for a while and look at my staff. By the way, did you brush your teeth this morning? Of course. Of course I brushed my teeth. Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. Everybody brushed their teeth. So I said, okay, no problem, good. Hey, look, now I understand. Colgate is more important than Jesus to you. Yeah. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that we have habits that we've formed ourselves. Brushing teeth, by the way, is not a natural behavior. Please Google it. Brushing your teeth was created by a company called Pepsodent. They crafted the concept of brushing your teeth. Crazy. But now it's such a part of our personal hygiene, we feel a bit weird if you didn't brush your teeth. Hopefully everybody brushed their teeth this morning. Right? We feel a little bit weird. So I want to just kind of impress upon you and each one of us, what does it mean to know and to do? Why is there a barrier? It's just like evangelism. And I'm talking about my own church. Go out and make disciples. Everybody knows it. We share in our sermons, please invite a friend. In my church, I don't know about this church, nobody invites them. The excuses are, oh, everybody I know already get invited. Okay. Don't like rejection. So I think this is what Jesus is trying to do with us. Jesus is not interested in incremental changes. He came here to be transformative, right? So other Bible verses to show actioning is important and that faith to have action. Jesus in Capernaum said to the guy who's paralyzed, stand up. Standing up is an action. Right? So he didn't say, believe me. He said, stand up. And of course, Abraham on the hill of Moriah was asked to sacrifice Isaac. Right? God wants to see action. Right? So works is not the cause of salvation, but it's really the evidence of salvation. And I'm hoping that we could all embrace that concept. The question is, what's holding us back? What's holding us back? And I want to just kind of give a little bit of a quick 90-second Bible study. God says, do anything you want to do. Go have a party, Adam and Eve. Just, you know that fruit up there? Don't eat it. Gave them one rule. They broke that rule. God is saying, okay, let me give you 10 rules. That's got the 10 commandments. Maybe you'll start. And then eventually, by the time you finish the Old Testament, you know how many rules are there in the Old Testament? 613 rules. And mankind has demonstrated the inability to get it done. God used prophets, kings, and judges in the Old Testament to speak to us, to teach us, and we failed him. To a point where God was silent for about 500 years, right, at the end of Old Testament. And God finally said, okay, here's a new game plan. You guys know what to do. Let me send my own son to show you how to do it. That's why Jesus came, right? Jesus came not to tell us what the laws were. We already knew it. Well, the Jews knew it. He came to action it. He's like, here's how you go get it done. It was not the what. Everybody knows the what. He's the how. He's the actioning. So I think it's important for us, if as Christians, Jesus Christ Christians, mini Jesuses, we are supposed to be following that footstep. And this is a concept that I use in my own training company. And it's a convenient one. Kuah means soup in Indonesian. K-U-A-H. Do you know? Do you know that's a swimming pool? I didn't know. Well, that pool of body is called swimming pool. Do you understand how to swim? I don't. You want to know how to swim? Understand how to swim? You can Google it. YouTube has many videos on water dynamics. But can you learn to swim by just watching YouTube or reading a book about swimming? How do you learn to swim? The only way to swim is you got to jump into the pool. Is that fair? Can anybody here tell me that they learn to swim without drinking swimming pool water? It's impossible. When you jump into the pool, as a part of learning to swim, you will drink some water. It is the not the no and the understand. 你知道跟你懂吗? 没有用. It's the application. Know, understand, and apply. As the application of God's word is the critical part of what we call growing in Christ. At least that's how I see it. So the problem is, if I know and I understand the Great Commission, why am I not evangelizing? I'm just focusing back on the meeting that Pastor Daniel and myself have. It's because maybe I agree. First, I don't believe. Well, let me show you the scripture. Oh, okay, I believe, but I don't agree, lah. But maybe I agree, but don't know how. Then it becomes a capability issue. Well, let me show you how. Okay, you show me, but I'm not ready. Just like when my daughter was learning to ride a bike, she saw it and all that, but she's not ready. So that's where coaching and discipleship is there. You know, I kneel down and, you know, take my daughter and then just like this, very uncomfortable to teach her how to ride a bicycle. That's what the church elders, the church leaders are for. But many, many people, and I call it I recently had a conversation, I call it the curse of affluence of Singaporeans. The biggest stress for my two kids is, Papa, the Wi-Fi is not very strong here. The affluence makes us complacent. That's my personal view. What happens is actually, yeah, I know I should evangelize, but you're better. Why don't you do it? I pray for you. That's a cop-out. Other people will say, well, let's wait and see. See what? Let's wait when it's actually a necessity. So at one point in my church sermon, I said, by the way, there's about 20% of Singaporeans in Singapore. 20% of Singaporeans are Christians. About 100 people die every day here. On average, about 100 people die in Singapore every day. So that means 80 people have not heard about Christ and is going to an unpleasant place. I think the urgency is right here, right now. The neighbors, the parking attendant, the waitress downstairs. So I'd like to encourage us that it's very easy as Christians to be overly headstrong, head knowledge, and come up with a lot of justification, and I call it self-justification, of not doing what God asks us to do. It's really tough. In the Anglican Church, just to let you know, when we read the gospel, we usually have, as a part of our liturgy, our process, we usually have an Old Testament reading. Everybody's reading, great. And then we say, would you all stand up for a gospel reading? And everybody stands up for the gospel reading. Usually it's, you know, from the four gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everybody stands up. We always have this. I ask my congregation members, do you actually know why we stand up? Oh, because Jesus' word is very important. More important than Old Testament? No, they're equally important, but the standing up is an actioning. So it's the same thing. I would like to suggest, coming back to our anchor conversation today, knowing is good, but it's not enough. We have to do. And do what? Well, do whatever God has put in your heart and take that action. In this specific context with Pastor Daniel, it was about evangelizing and sharing the good word. So I want to leave you with this one pretty crazy case study, real case study, that happened to me. And I was so freaked out about it, I took a picture of this guy. Right? So, I actually got, it's August last year, I got into a cab, you know, full of myself, talking, and on the phone call, the Grab, it came out, Paya Lebar. I said, okay, sorry, can you go? I had to go to the city. I'm on a phone here. And then he's got that music in the background. I said, okay, I'm talking to the person. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Okay, I'm almost there. Sir, are you playing worship music? This guy's like a little bit embarrassed. Yeah, this guy's full body of tattoo. Even you can see his face, everything is tattooed. And he's playing worship music. I said, fantastic. Sir, do you mind if I give you my testimony? I said, that is great, but I'm a believer. Okay. But I promise God that I have a personal KPI. You know what a KPI is? Yeah. I must share the gospel to one person every day. And this is my little ministry. He worships at New Creation. It's a little ministry. He's got the cross, the Jesus cross. He plays the music, and he's got a Bible verse there. He's created that whole environment to find a chance. And some people don't like it. But if it's okay, can I share it with you? I said, hey, look, I'm already a believer. Why don't you save it for a non-believer? I'm afraid that there's no non-believer. I don't care. Can I share it with you? So this guy, his name Henry, he's a gangster. People say, you've never been in jail 2 times. You've never been divorced 2 times. Drug dealer. Yeah. Gambling with Along. Basically a good for nothing for most of his life. But he said, I have 2 sisters that have been praying for me since I was a kid. And when my best friend called me, and then within the same minute, jumped off a building and died, I woke up. He goes, Carl, I used to have Buddha, a little, you know, one of those statues that they buy, talisman on his house and everything. I threw it all away, and then I came and I, you know, surrendered to the Lord. And God has been good. And I'm still working in progress. And he's a new believer. And that is, you see the cross there, right? And I was so freaked out by this guy. I said, if you could only, I wanted to book him, okay, but I don't know how to use the app so he can send me to church and tell the people in my church. I said, do you mind if I take a photo of you? And I want to share it with my wife. And so he goes, yeah. So guys, he's less educated than many of us here. He's less privileged than many of us here. But he has set himself a personal KPI. Not me. I'm educated. I'm very privileged. So if he can do it, why not us? So I hope you guys get a sense of being motivated. Get equipped. If you don't know how to share the word, Jesus can equip you. I'm around. Pastor Silas and Daniel are around. We can help. We can do it together, maybe first couple times. Don't do it by yourself. Work in pairs. Do what Jesus did, you know, in the New Testament. Go in pairs because it's healthy, it's good, and you've got companionship. Most importantly, when you go in pairs, is you got an accountability partner and get started. So that's really it. What I want to say is this. I want to end with this. The best testimony is not what you hear. The best testimony is what people see. God bless you all. Thank you. You can have the slides too if you guys want it.
Chat wants.
Yes. So I promised Pastor Daniel that we can also have a chat. If you guys have any questions, feel free.
We just stand around. This is going to be a world record. 25:30.
Yeah. I wanted to skip some of the slides because you guys, I don't want to make it boring to you. But
I'm gonna ask Carl to tell me a bit about his conversion experience. I heard it once. If you tell me a bit, you were sitting in some service and then you know that story.
I came back from Hong Kong. I fly a lot. I came back from Hong Kong, and when I came back on a Friday night, I remember, long trip, 11:30, arrived home. I realized my home is very clean. Oh, very nice. It's all cleaned up. And then within like 20 seconds, wait a minute, where are the paintings? The furniture is there, but it's like completely cleaned out, not clean. And I went to my kid's room, and the bed's empty. Went to my bedroom. My wife's not there. I opened the closet. All the contents are gone. I do know my wife loves me because she left me a blanket, a pillow, and a toothbrush and a toothpaste and a towel. So at least, you know, she wanted me to get a shower. So I was like furious. What the hell's going on? I was like, so I contacted her. She didn't pick up the phone. It was like by 2 a.m., start calling her. I was freaking out. But I knew that my in-laws are about 10 minutes away. So I went there, knocked on the door. My mother-in-law finally opened. I said, I need to see Jesse. And then Jesse said, I'm not interested in talking to you. You've cheated on me. You've been unfaithful. I've tolerated for such a long time. And I said, I'll change. The usual salesperson talk. And she goes, I'm all tired. I said, look, you better come back. Otherwise, I'll call the cops on you. Still the hard-ass guy. All right? Yeah, you call it. I said, okay. I'm also tired. Next day, I said, at least honor me with a dinner to work out the details of if this is a separation for sure. So she did. And then still doing my PowerPoint. You know, I'm quite good with sales pitches and Excel sheets. You know, what about the finance and all that? And she actually said, look, we're done. I've got a private investigator. That's crazy. It cost me $20,000. I paid for it. I've got all the evidence to go after you. Yeah. So I should have known you as a lawyer. So she got the best lawyer in town and all that. So anyway. And I said, okay. Well, I knew she was a Christian and she brought me to the church. I was a Christian, but not really a Christian, you know, kind of like had knowledge. And I said, okay, let's pray. Because that was the only other thing that I was looking at. And she goes, yeah, and we prayed and said, you know, God, change me. And she kind of walked away after that. The next day, I went to the church that she brought me to. She goes to the Anglican high school church, the Chinese congregation, All Saints Chinese. 我中文可以说,但是你叫我听这个是很困难. So I went to the English side. I sat down in my batik shirt. Everybody, oh, welcome to church. What brought you? I said, oh, yeah, my wife brought me to this church, but this is the English service. Yeah, I sat down. I literally sat like five rows behind. It was Chinese New Year the day after. It was a service then. And literally, when the pastor, Pastor Jeremy, spoke, for me, the room went blank, completely blank. And it was just bright light, like this light, really bright. But the difference is it was warm. And all I heard was, Carl, I love you. That's all he said. And I just broke down in tears. It's not cry. I was sobbing. But you know, 不好意思, we say in Chinese, because this is a church. I just came in first time. So 5 minutes later, I'm saying, okay, let me compose myself. It was actually, Daniel, 1.5 hours later. Time was paused. So I first thought, man, this is, maybe I'm too stressed out. And I usually don't have stress. I give people stress. That's what my wife says. I went back home, tried to call her. She says, don't talk to me. So I said, okay, God, if you're the real God and what happened to me earlier on, I'm just going to surrender to you. The same event happened in my bed. Warm light. All he said was, Carl, I love you. That was it. Not blaming me, not yelling me, just saying that. And I've got this all this sense of guilt. I do so many bad things, hurting my kids, my family. All he says, I love you. I was like, and I went to sleep with complete peace, which I haven't had for a long time. Yeah, it's all within like 48 hours, some intense moments. They call it the burning bush moment for people, or like the road to Damascus, Paul. Three days later, Pastor Louis Liu, who's the canon now in the cathedral, texts me, Dear Mr. Carl, welcome to All Saints last weekend. I'd like to catch up for you. Are you available for lunch and coffee? I said, sure, lunch. I sat down with him, Pastor Lewis. He goes, Carl, good to welcome to our church. I said, sure. My wife goes to the Chinese side. I didn't tell him anything. And he said, Carl, so you're a Christian? Yep. So you believe in Jesus? Yeah. This is exactly what I did. Jesus bagus. And you know what he said? Oh, so you're baptized. You know what I said? I said, no need. Oh, Daniel, that was a nightmare for me. I mean, Pastor Lewis, like, he fell off his chair. Like, I'm having Japanese stress. He goes, what's it? I goes, why? Who's that I need? So he literally pulled out a Bible, went to Book of Mark and pulled out in the red words And Jesus said, you shall be baptized in water and in my name.
Oh.
So who said that? Yes, Jesus said that. So if you're a believer, maybe there's something you want to consider. Very gentle. The pastor, very gentle. I said, oh, okay. So yeah, so let's get baptized. How much? My whole life was very transactional. Is this being recorded? Yeah. So it's fascinating. He is also like, no, it's free. But you have to go through a course. And this is the arrogance of me. You know, I'm very busy, Pastor. I'm quite an important man. Can you guys come to my office? Sure, we will arrange that. So when God wants you, you cannot walk away. That's basically it. And after 6 weeks of kind of a Bible studies and baptism course, as you guys know, I got baptized. And it's only after my baptism the Holy Spirit started to work in my life. I started to bring the laptop to the church. And one day one of the pastors said, you know what? I know you're busy and all that, but you shouldn't be working when we're giving sermon. Working, I'm taking notes. It's so important. Yeah, can I have the slides? Right? So the Holy Spirit started working in me. I started YouTubing. By then, my wife came back. She saw that I was trying to change. So thank God for her grace. And my kids. But my kids are still young that time. And at one point, I said to my wife, hey, you know, is this YouTube? Because YouTube, there's a lot of rubbish, okay? Is this okay? And she goes, I don't know. You better check with the pastors if this is biblical or not biblical, a lot of these sermons and all that. So at that time, I decided to apply to seminary school. And then, spent 8 years full-time in seminary to try to establish myself and have a much more structured approach to building my relationship with Christ. So that's a little bit about my sermon. Sorry.
You sort of accepted Christ, you got yourself baptized, and almost immediately you decided to enrich yourself by going to Bible school.
Well, it's about 6 months because I started taking notes. I was like bothering people. I brought my laptop in and then take notes. I still have those notes. And then I went to a mission trip with a guy called Pastor Imban. He just gave up everything and go to Indonesia to do missionary work. And he spoke at my church. And I took him out to lunch and said, which place? Oh, Surabaya. I'm from Surabaya. Oh, I'm serving this neighborhood of very poor people. That neighborhood's like a couple of kilometers from. I've never seen these poor people. My eyes was blind. And this Singaporean guy, with no money, spent 20 years serving the neighborhoods that I was blind to. I was thinking, this Jesus guy is, it's like, what's going on? And then I said, you know, if he's truth, I'm all in. There's nothing that's, this is it. By the way, it's not easy writing in the 10 years. I've had desert, storm seasons, right? And I want to just say this. I recently, in December, one of my companies in the U.S. ran out of money because we're a tech startup. And then the whole turmoil was FTX and all these stuff. And one of my colleagues from Afghanistan, who was a refugee when the U.S. pulled out, I said, hey, Habib, I'm so sorry to tell you this. I was on a Zoom with him. You know, we can't make payment this month for salary. I'm trying my best. He makes $3,000. He goes, okay. So I'm so sorry. I mean, it's going to be tough. And he said this to me. My staff, Mr. Carl, we are supposed to have a difficult time as Christians. Afghanistan Christian teaching me, seminary professor. If life was easy, then we're on the wrong side. I was like, I'm trying to minister to him. He's like, so guys, it's not about the degree that you have. The encounters, like Daniel said, those little encounters will build us up. I'm blown away. Right? And he said, oh, so his final conclusion is, okay, so if I cannot make money, so basically I need to work at Amazon in the nighttime so I can work for our company in the daytime.
What are we lacking as Christians in Singapore? You're an entrepreneur, you're a marketplace person, a bit like me. What are some of the things that are lacking? What are we not doing right? What do we need to do more?
I think we come together once a week to get energized, to be edified, to be filled. I see in the workplace, all of you work, there's maybe four layers being upfront about the Christian life. One is, I'm a Christian. I'll look out for good bad things, and I'll try to pray for it. Second is, I will actually try to live out the life of Christ in a workplace so people can see the salt and light. The third is being proactively bringing conversations up around faith in a very gentle, very friendly, in a tender way, and encourage that dialogue. I think the first two, most of us do decently. But I think the third one, I would tend to think, otherwise, being a Christian just becomes like a club. You do know this is the only club in the world that was designed for non-members. The church is the only membership club that is specifically designed for non-members. Just think about that. Yeah. That's my personal opinion. Happy to take any questions, Daniel. Yeah.
Any questions? Anybody? Today's an interesting service. It's 5:40, gosh, come. Yeah. Next time to tell you, you got to speak at least 45
sure,
minutes.
Sure, can.
Kidding.
I can talk for a long time.
Any questions? Otherwise, I'll ask him a couple of questions myself. Anybody? We have time? He's a businessman.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about B12, about buying some time. Tell us about B12.
So, Love Singapore is a church movement, gathering of all the churches, a couple hundred churches.
Yeah.
I think your church is involved. And Love Singapore is about praying for Singaporeans. And fundamentally, being a Christian is two basic things. Be better, discipleship, and share the good news. That's it. The be better and grow and become a nicer and closer to Jesus. This is what we call discipleship. There's a lot of programs for it. From YWAM, right, to cell groups. To your churches. But the other part, spread the good word, spread the good news, share it with a believer, evangelism. There was an extensive study done by the Far East organization. There's a report which basically says Christians do not evangelize. That's a problem statement. And when we look deeper into it, most people want to, but they say, but I've already invited everybody I know. Right, and basically, you know four types of people: your family and friends, your high school or university buddies. For guys, your military buddies, and your work buddies. Fair. Most of us fall into that, and then you don't really move out of that comfort zone. If you met another Christian, you're just doubling that kind of relationship. So B12 is before Christian, is really a 12 people. I'm going to use Pastor Daniel's words. Basically, we set up cell groups for non-believers so they get conditioned to enjoy cell groups. We're basically targeting small, medium-sized enterprise owners, business people, and do what we call peer-to-peer mentoring. Pastor Daniel, Brother Silas are very well-known individuals in the marketplace, in the commercial world. My profile is decent. The chairman of Enterprise Singapore. We've got the former CEO of Dell. These are all believers. Instead of doing one-on-one, we're creating a peer-to-peer mentoring circle that we meet once a month at a hotel like Hilton or Shangri-La with over a nice lunch, and we will speak into each other's lives. The focus is to develop business savviness, strategic acumen, and build up. It's not meant for networking or do business together. It's really leadership at the upper echelon of the society, leadership mentoring, peer-to-peer. Silas is a facilitator. Pastor Daniel is a facilitator. I'm a facilitator. The idea is, as we start to journey with this group of non-believers or pre-believers, we will start to build relationships with them. And as we build relationship with them, it would be very comfortable for us to say, oh, by the way, next weekend my church is having a kids thing for our Easter. We'd love to invite you and your family to come over. We're basically creating opportunities to build relationships outside our normal circle at a very strategic level. Because God's put in my heart, because of the we're business people, let's reach out to business people. Right? People will ask, why are you so motivated? Why are you so happy? Well, there's a reason. My Father loves me. Right? So B12 is actually something we'll be kicking off. If you're interested in it, you know, we've got two facilitators here. If you are thinking, I have a brother-in-law who's a businessman, who's a pre-believer, he could use this service. Don't even say it's Christian. It's actually, by the way, we're specifically saying this is not a Christian ministry. The minute you say that, it's dead. It's a business. And we'll charge them for it. But if they don't want to pay, first round's on me. Right? It's okay. So if you know of a businessman, right, who, married or unmarried, who's running their own business, who would enjoy world-class peer-to-peer mentoring, let us know. Why do I say it's world-class? Because all the concepts come from the top programs around the world. There's something called C12, Christian 12, which is only the top CEOs of Christian CEOs around the world have the methodology of the cell group. So I sent my CEO there to do that. We have all the materials there. There's another one called YPO, Young Presidents Organization. These are all very atas business communities. We're taking all the concepts there because I'm a member. So we should have a very strong value proposition. So that's B12. It's focused on building relationships outside the church with business leaders, with the excuse of feeding them into the alpha church environment.
You're just talking to him also about how, I find a similarity between Carl and I. We sometimes say yes to something without knowing what we're getting ourselves into. Not that we don't think, but sometimes we think too much, it won't do a lot of things. We just say yes. And I think that's something I find in this guy. So that's why you see this is a bit of a bromance, because I find someone that's able to just, we say yes without thinking too much. Because a lot of times when you think about something, you count the cost. You don't do a lot of things. So that's the kind of man I am. In fact, I just had lunch with him about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Even the people that he serves in the Anglican faith, some of them are from my school.
Yes.
So I said, hook me up. And if you think there's anything I can do over that side, I'll be happy to just do whatever it takes.
Yeah. Yeah. God's working every minute, every second. The only question is our eyes tune in to what he's doing in our lives? Yeah. That's really, and sometimes, you know, not good, it's tough, but yeah. Other questions or interests?
No?
People in their, we're all, I'm seeing very different age groups and very different occupations, but yeah, I've got two kids, they're teenagers, so some of you are teenagers. I've got my mom's still around, I'm very grateful for that. She's not a believer. So I try to bring her out on different trips. Last year, I brought her to the U.S. To a very well-known Christian meeting. And she's saying, I'll say in Chinese, 你做什么带我在到这里?这个都是老外。我都不会讲英文. And you know what happened? Two people say, 伯母你好. Two angmos speak perfect Mandarin to him. And she's like freaking out, right? Oh, these are bivocational. These are people who are missionaries for 10 years in China, come back, start a business. They're supporting missionaries. So, yeah, she got to meet a very famous guy. You guys know a guy called Nick Vujicic? The guy with no arms, no legs. He's one of my, he's a close friend, he's one of my shareholders. So my mom got to sit down with him, and he was, you know, sharing his testimony. But you don't have to share. You can just look at his situation. He's got a, by the way, he's got a beautiful wife, 4 kids. So my mom is literally blown away and freaking out. Still praying for her, of course. But yeah, so I would say be intentional. I've been given a lot of privileges. And now, Daniel, I operate out of fear of disobedience. I say, okay, you know, you've got all these things. I'm supposed to do my part. I don't want to meet Jesus when I pass away from this side of eternity. And said, you know what? I gave you all these opportunities and you didn't take it on. So I told the people in my church, I want to be his next door neighbor. Right? Yeah, I want to have that. I'm having a great encounter with him right now. And it's so cool to know that I'm going to spend eternity. So that's a little bit about my family. My wife's family, they're all believers. So that's good. But still praying for them as well.
Any
business questions, career questions, school questions?
Anything going to tell us about the kind of difficulties you have doing all the kind of different businesses all around the world? And how do you resolve that with doing so many things for God?
Well, I'll tell you one incident that happened with DBS Bank. They're my client. I did a workshop for them in December near Christmas. HSBC is also my client too. Look forward to getting a business card, ma'am. And in this workshop, it was about wealth management. So wealth management is basically like how to invest and what stocks or bonds, the different kinds of investment stuff. And my company does that training. So with DBS, they had a batch of people over there. And so I was running the training from 9 o'clock to 5 p.m. But always within the first 3 to 5 minutes, I will introduce myself as, I don't have an MBA, I don't have a master's in finance. I'm actually trained as a pastor. I've got a master's in theology, I got a doctorate in theology. So, yeah, bear with me. That's kind of like how I started. So, one guy, Kenata Han, at 4 p.m., almost, I have a question, sir, but it's a private question. Since you already raised your hands, private question is not very private, lah. Why don't you share? And he said, you know, you're saying something incorrect. I said, what? So he started, then, I swear, this is what he said. I was a Christian. I'm no longer a Christian. He starts saying away. But what you said about wealth management, isn't it against, like, the Bible? Isn't there something like a camel, a needle, a... you know, so it's very tough. So I said, okay, yeah, everybody's tired. I said, look, there's two things I'm going to respond. First, I'm going to invite you to lunch or dinner. We need to talk about the whole I was a Christian, I'm no longer a Christian statement. Let's take that offline. Right? Okay, yeah. But let me tell you, I'm here today and I'm sharing with you on the ways to invest. Did I say anything about speculating and gambling, or did I say about stewardship, right? And making sure that you leave your family with the right kind of taking care of for the future, right? I'm here. It's because of my faith. I'm not conflicted. There's no conflict in everything I say. I'm talking about if you're going to invest, you need a strategy, you need a plan. And you need to have the right heart and the posture. If you want to give me to give everyone a Bible verse and strategy and plan, go to the book of Nehemiah. But this is not a Bible study. I want to be sensitive too, because I don't want DBS sponsors to come and say, hey, why are you? But I was bold. So I said, okay. So that's that. By the way, this is my number. Contact me if you want to get some extra questions about investments and strategies and all that. Literally, as I finish, I get a text message from another participant. Dear Carl, last night I was stressed out about this course and I was praying to God, please give me a mentor who's a Christian who can help me navigate the finance world because it's very dark. And you are an answer to my prayer. So, yeah, I quickly text my wife too. So she's like, yeah, how come you have so much favor? I said, no, I think basically if you try to be bold about why you're so loved in this most authentic way, I think there's amazing opportunities that's out there. We talk about Credit Suisse just now, so that's right. So this is 5 years, 6 years ago. I was at not a workshop, literally not a workshop. My same starting line. Yeah, I don't have an MBA and all that. That's the first day. It's a 2 day workshop. The first day, by 10:30, we had a coffee break. I get a coffee. One of the participants walk up to me, this lady. I said, okay, so everything okay? And she started crying. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm dead. I'm going to get sued by the bank. Did I say something wrong to you? I'm so sorry. I mean, I was just talking about banking and industry. Did I say something? I wasn't even picking on her. And she just literally said, I feel God is calling me back to go to church. I said, look, this is not me. It's him, Holy Spirit. Which I just happened to be in the same room of the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. And yeah, she came to my church several times. And she got married. I don't keep track of her anymore. She's still on my Facebook. But basically what I'm trying to say is encounters like the taxi driver, like the DBS, like the Credit Suisse, is happening all the time. I realize in this, I'm trying to slow down in my walk with God because I tend to, like you, I rush through a lot of things, right? So I'm on the Book of Psalms. I just finished the Book of Psalms. I'm not Book of Proverbs right now. I'm just pacing myself verse by verse and just going deep. And that's the thing, as I quiet my heart a little bit more and more intentionally, I hear him much more clearly. So in this season, my job is to pace myself a little bit. And I tell my kids, my wife, God is not, it tends to whisper to us. If he's yelling at us, it's a little too late sometimes. You're in trouble. So, which happened to me 10 years ago. So that's a little bit about being bold in the marketplace. I have a lot of companies. I have good leaders. I try to follow the principle. One guy disciples 12 people. One drop out. He got replaced, called Matthias. But the 12 guys then starts to roll it out, get mentored, and roll out to 2 billion people. So I try to follow the exact same model. I try to work with 8 to 12 leaders, groom them. They're not all Christians, but many of them are. Groom them, work with them, and build them up, and then let them run the show. Now, have I been cheated? Many times. Have I been disappointed? All the time. But, yeah, it comes with the territory of being taking risk. I try to be very intentional now. Not all doors are God's doors. I tend to jump into things. So these days I say, okay, God, if it's not the right door, shut it down for me because I don't know. If it's the right door, can I ask for favor so things work smoothly? It's still not 100% clear. But what I do know is this. He loves me. And if a door is open, it's his door, but I struggle, he's trying to teach me something. That's basically the conclusion I have. All right.
Thank you so much. I think we just thank God.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just had a meeting about last week. Three boys came to see me. One of them is a worship leader in some church, and then two of his cousins came. I was rushing. I knew I was rushing, but something told me speak to the two boys. You know what I did? I didn't do it. After that, I followed up and I found that two of them, one of them was a backslider. And when you do your job well, I think he was listening to me. And if I gave the last hook to say, are you free this Saturday? I think there's a 75% chance they'll be here today. Why am I saying this to ourselves? I think sometimes the opportunities come. If you don't take it, it just passes by. I hope not to regret what I didn't do. Have you not had sometimes when you're supposed to do something you didn't do and then you regret it because you don't cross paths with the person anymore or something happened to the person? So, yeah, at the same time, I also want to just leave as a thought. I don't want you guys to think, oh no, Carl, you can do this because you're Carl and you got DBS clients or whatever. We're doing this book on Exodus, Carl. And next week, I'm going to just go on chapter 1 and talk about theology of work. But today, let's close with this in case people think, Carl and Daniel, you guys talk because you guys are at a certain whatever. Exodus 1:15, if you have your Bibles open, but if not, just listen to me. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives whose names were Sifra and Puah, when you're helping the Hebrew woman during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby's a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live. Exodus 1:15. The midwives, however, and listen to this, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Does anybody know the name of the Pharaoh in Exodus? I don't. But I know the name of the two Hebrew midwives. They are, I hope I pronounced it correctly, Sifra and Puah. These were Hebrew midwives. They were given a very clear mandate. It's just like you're given a very clear mandate. Maybe the mandate given to Carl was, hey, this is DBS, don't talk about God. He did it anyway. And when he did what he did, the favor of God came and he saw that people called him, and then he saw that actually what he did, not only did he not lose his client, but I think his reputation got enhanced and people came knocking on him, WhatsApp messages and private messages came. The Hebrew midwives were known. The Pharaoh, I don't know his name. The Pharaoh's heart was hardened, but I think the Pharaoh hardened his own heart first before then, you know, God allowed his heart to be hardened further. The hearts of the Hebrew midwives, Sifra and Puah, were soft. They are prepared to go to the extent when you fear God. It overrides the fear of men, the king, the Pharaoh himself, who may, some may say like a demigod, and do what the God that we know and serve will ask us to do and not do. To live, to let the boys live. Why have you done this? The king of Egypt summoned the midwives, and they had to answer to the Pharaoh. And when we do the work of God, God will be kind to the midwives, and the people increase and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. I like that. Can we just understand something? That when we do the work of God, Carl and I and all the rest of us, God in his time will protect us, will watch over us and reward us. You don't have to fear that you lack anything. And as you come before God. I want to end to time, this just coming before the Lord, and ask our sister to just lead us to worship. It's interesting, of all times, must be because Carl was here. Typically, Esther will just tell us, give me a couple of songs, and then she suddenly pops and say, can we sing a song in Mandarin? Must be in honor of Carl the speaker today. But as we come before the Lord, can we just know that this God is a God that is worth worshipping. Knowing Him is not enough. To worship Him, to draw close to Him, and then to do what He will ask us to do. Can we all stand? Draw me close.
Draw me close to you, never let me go.
Lay it all down again.
I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend.
You're my heart's desire.
You are my highest desire.
No one else can do.
No one else will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace.
Help me find.
Help me find the way. Bring me back to you.
Let's worship the Lord. Say, you're all I want.
You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want.
Lord, help me to know.
Help me know you are near.
Draw me close.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I laid it all down. I laid it all down again. To hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire.
No one else. No one else will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace.
Help me find a way.
Help me find the way. Bring me back to you.
Let's raise your hands before the Lord. Tell the Lord, worship Him. You're all I want.
You're all I want. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I ever need. You're all I want. Help me to know. Help me know you are. You're all I want. You're all I want. You're all I ever. You're all I want.
You're all I want.
Help me to know. Help me know.
One more time, tell the Lord Jesus,
you're all I want. You're all I want. Never needed. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you.
Help me know you are here. 主耶稣，我们感谢你。我深深知道，圣灵你在我们当中，在浇灌你的爱在我们心中。主啊，今天我们把我们自己交托给你，听到了那个考牧师跟我们说的，跟我们分享的他的经文。主啊，让你的爱大大的充满我们，让我们成为盐和光。今天我们把自己交托给你，因为你永远永远都不会离开我们的，因为这样我们感谢你。 主耶和华，你已经检查了我。我坐下，
我坐下，我起来，你都已晓得。我心路，我疼痛，你都心察。
他知道我们一切，
你也深知我一切所行。我舌头上的话，你没有一句不知道。你在我前后环绕着我，安守在我身上。这样的奇妙是我不能折透，你的至高，你的尊贵，是我永远 不能说尽。
我可以往，
我可以往哪里去躲避你的灵？我可以往哪里去逃，可躲避你的面？我若展开清晨的翅膀，飞到地极，
就在这里，
就在那里，你的双手你必引导我。
我们从头开始，主耶和华，
主耶和华，你已经牵插了我，我坐下，我起来，你都已晓得。我行路，我拖着，你都行场。你也深知我一切所行。
我舌头上的话，
我舌头上的话，你没有一句不知道。你在我前后环绕着我，安守在我身上。这样的奇妙，是我不能彻透。你的至高，你的尊贵，是我永远不能说我可以往哪里去躲避你的灵？我可以往哪里去逃，可躲避你的面？
我若
展开清晨的翅膀，飞到地极，就在那里，你的心手
也必引导我。
就在那里，你的双手也必
引导我。
Holy Spirit, you're in the business of guiding your people. You're a spiritual compass that we can trust 100%.Lord, you send prophets, you send people to encourage us. And the word of God, when we read it every morning or the night before we retire, confirms what we know, that you're a God that will pursue us. You're a God that loves us. So in the name of Christ, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray for you, my brother and sister, do the work of His kingdom. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord lead you. May the Lord give you not hints,but clear directions, so that as you hear from Him, you will do His work. I pray for you a centrality of joy, so that the spirit of joy, of conviction, will lead you, so that you will do the work of His kingdom with His joy, with His conviction. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, until we meet again next week, just like Carl and I, when we go back to the marketplace. May we boldly, courageously speak, behave,so that when people see what is clear to them, that there's a God behind all of us. Father, we thank you, we bless you. We pray all this through Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.